We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and this is WMIE 91.5 FM. If you're listening at 10:30, you're listening to WWBC 1510 AM, or at 5 o'clock of the evening, we're back on WMIE. There's also some frequencies. I've been doing more travel down to the southern part of the county and found the frequencies on my radio as I was scanning through down there. So if you don't find us at 91.5 or 1510 AM, scan the dial, because there are some frequencies that go all throughout the county that you should be able to pick up, not just this program, but all the great programming that WMIE puts on the air. So we want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical for their help in bringing this broadcast to you. They do great work anywhere in the county. And like I said on one of the previous times, if you have had Wyrick doing your service in past, make sure that you have a current sticker, because the phone number is 632-9538 and 632-9538. And so you want to make sure that you call them at that number. That gets you the authentic, genuine Wyrick air conditioning. And so here in Brevard County, that is the number that you need, 632-9538. So I'm coming to you today, bringing you this broadcast. Last week, I was flying to Tulsa. My grandmother unexpectedly passed away, as unexpectedly as a 101-and-a-half-year-old woman can do. But, you know, she had a great life. She loved Jesus. She had at least four grandkids that were involved in ministry of some sort, another grandchild that's on the board of a church, and just had a real profound impact on community and was doing well. And so I was thankful that just a few weeks ago, my wife and I had gone to celebrate her mother's birthday, and they're in the same general geological location, geographic location. They're only a few hours away from one another. And so we traveled up to Tulsa to see my parents and my grandmother. And, you know, and I've been saying this for years, you just never know when the time that you're seeing someone is the last time that you get to see them. And so that was the first time my wife had been able to go in a number of years, and it ended up being, you know, just the right time. And am very thankful that she went very quickly. I mean, they were talking about sending her home from the hospital, and just a few hours later, she went home to be with Jesus. It was very unexpected, but even in the midst of all of that, God was still on the throne, still preparing us. And so today, I'm bringing this message to you, not with a heavy heart, but with a thankful heart, because we're talking about the new covenant that was established through Jesus Christ. And it was that new covenant that he established that caused eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be possible for those of us who are not of Jewish background. Prior to Jesus coming, the gospel was almost entirely exclusively for the Jewish people. And Jesus came and said, we are going to broaden our horizons, and we are going to enlarge our reach, and we are going to plunder the kingdom of darkness. And so I'm very thankful that he touched my granny. And, I put on Facebook that if you want to hear some humorous stories about her, you might want to come and plan on spending about a week, because it'll take that long to tell of all of the stories that I know. And my wife, she was sharing some things because she had been to Florida to see us a couple of times, and when she would come down, there would be almost always something funny to say, and she was just a real joy. And so I want to thank you for those of you who are going to pray for my family or have been praying for my family. If you would continue, there's some other health situations that are very eternity's threshold is very imminent for a couple of other family members, and for some of the extended family, it will be sorrow upon sorrow, and so we greatly appreciate your prayers for the family there. So, but we are talking about covenant, and covenant was it was initiated in the heart of God. He's the one who made it possible. And so I want to take you back to Luke chapter 22 this morning. And it said, when the hour, this is in verse number 14, it says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And we'll just stop the reading right there today. So we've been talking about the desire that Jesus had. He said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And you just have to realize how driven Jesus is to spend eternity with you and I, the redeemed of the Lord. It is a driving desire, a compelling desire. It is something that mobilized him to come to this earth, take on the form of humanity, live amongst us, live a life that fulfilled the law and the prophets, offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins, raise from the dead on the third day, ascend to the right hand of the Father, and to ever live to make intercession for the saints and to make preparation for you and I, that where he is, there we may be also. He is driven by that concept. He loves you. He loves me. And we need to also be driven by that love for him. And so he says, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You see, the things that are talked about, they're going to have a fulfillment. They are not empty promises. They are not just words that cross someone's lips without having any connection to the heart, the resources, or the priority list. God, when he makes a promise, he intends on fulfilling it, and he is fulfilling the kingdom of God. He fully intends for the kingdom to reach its full manifestation. There is going to come a time, according to the scriptures, where God is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years without Satan having any influence, without any temptation, without any sin. There's going to be just perfection on earth for 1,000 years. And to give you an idea of how fickle humanity is, that when Satan is released for a short season after that, mankind will once again turn away from God and turn back to the ways that they had always known. You see, the only way that we can experience the kingdom of God in the perfection that that Jesus wants us to is to allow him to rule and reign constantly in our life and allow him to bring us the victory over Satan. And so yesterday on Palm Sunday, I was preaching on the salvation that Jesus brings. I love Palm Sunday. It's one of my favorite, where you know, the Sunday before was one of my least favorites because I lose that hour of sleep. Palm Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays because of the fact that Jesus makes his entrance into the city and he is there on a mission, and that is to procure salvation for his people. And so we also had our board meeting last night, our business meeting, annual business meeting, and we're thankful for all that God has done. We've got some advancements that we have been making in our facilities. Life has not been boring. Let me put it that way to you. It has not been boring. So in verse number 17, he says this: "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it amongst yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So what I wanted to talk to you about is this thing that we call communion. Some people call it the Eucharist. But I want to talk to you about this participation in the acts of covenant. Jesus, it says, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them. What we get to celebrate is what God gave us. And so here a couple of weeks ago, our youth minister and I, we were working on some technological upgrades in our sanctuary, and we've had a piece of equipment that is faltering very fast, and so we've upgraded, and we were troubleshooting, and you know, he said, he made this statement. He said, "You know, it's like that old story about the level of commitment for breakfast, and you know, for the chicken, all it is a day. It's a day's work. But if you're having breakfast for the pig, it's a lifelong commitment. It's everything that he is. And Jesus has come and he's invested all that he is and all that he has for you and I. So when the scripture says, if God did not withhold his son, how would he withhold any good thing from us? In other words, God is not up there holding back or just doling out rations, but he is a lavish giver. He is a lavish lover of our soul. He says, "I want to give to you." He said, "I'm not just bringing you salvation for your eternity, but I am bringing you healing for your here and now." Your healing for your here and now. And so he says, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." So I want you to see, it says this also in verse number 20, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Both of the emblems that we celebrate communion with, he says, this is for you. It is for the body of Christ. He says it is to make your life possible and to make your life whole. It is for you. And so I believe that we need to avail ourselves of everything that God in his covenant has provided for us. I've said it before, and I will continue to say it. In Jesus' day and time, they had no problem believing that God could heal. They could not deny the miracles that were taking place, but they struggled with the concept that Jesus could forgive sins. It was just something that was incomprehensible to them. In our modern society, we have flipped it on our head, on its head, that coin, to where now we have no problem believing that God can forgive sins, but we struggle with the concept that he could heal our bodies. And I want you to know, he still does both. He in those days did both. He in this day does both. He saves and heals. Those are not just activities he does. It is who he is. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. I want you to understand that he gave his body as a gift for you and I. It is by his stripes we were healed. It is by his stripes. In the Old Testament, it says we are healed. In the New Testament, it says by his stripes we were healed. And so I always like to, whenever the devil, you know, rears up and attacks, I like to remind him of what the Word of God says, that God is our healer. You see, this was my last living grandparent that passed away. Three of the four of them I knew very well. I knew one of them a little bit. He died when I was pretty young, lived in a different part of the country. So I didn't really know him all that well. But the other three I got to know very well. And those three had each at one point in time been in the intensive care unit, and sometimes on multiple occasions. And because I live 1,250 miles away, they would call me and they would say, look, your grandmother, your grandfather is dying. And so if you want to see them while they are alive, you had better come. And so we made a trip out there for my grandmother. We made a trip out there for my grandfather. We made a trip out 5 years ago for my grandmother that just passed away. We made the trip out there for each of them, prayed the prayer of faith with them. And they all, instead of dying in the intensive care unit at that time, they actually got discharged from the hospital. Each and every one of them. My grandfather, he lived another 8 months after he was, let's say, five. He lived, 8 or 9 months. He lived an additional 8 or 9 months. His wife, my grandmother, hospice finally told her, said, look, you're not dying fast enough, and so we're not going to be able to come out here anymore. And she lived for 4.5 more years. And 5 years ago, my grandmother that just passed away, she had a heart episode. First time she'd ever had a heart episode. And they had told her that she would not leave the emergency room or the intensive care unit. And her youngest son and I, we flew into the same airport about the same time. So we rode over to the airport. All of the family was already there, and we walked in the room, and she looked around at everybody, and she said, I have such a wonderful family. I've decided that I'm not going to die yet. Now, I want you to know it had something to do with her desire to live, but it has more to do with the fact that Jesus was her savior and was also her healer. And so healing is for the young. I have a testimony of Jesus healing me when I was just a child. And I've known adults who got healed in their 40s and are still alive to this day. They weren't supposed to live, and yet they lived. And then 96-year-olds getting supernaturally healed, and they were expected to never leave intensive care unit. Instead, they got discharged and went home. And lived a healthy life. She had a couple of episodes here over the past few months where you could see that things were slowing down, but for the most part, she was very, very healthy. So I thank God for that. There are others that I know that they battle sickness all of their life. I've got a child that has a chronic health condition that society has said there is no cure for. But we have this thing called the broken body of Jesus Christ and his promises that he is our healer. And so we continue to believe, and we have seen some progress in that condition to where the levels of medicine that she is required to take, which is supposed to constantly be increasing, has actually had to be decreasing. So today I just want to encourage you. I want to build you up in your most holy faith and believe God that he is your healer and that is part of the covenant that Jesus established. That it's for us. He wants us to experience his goodness and his best. He wants us to be made whole. And so today I would like to say a prayer for you. And here's really what I would like for you to do. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about this, the covenant that is established in his blood. And that is going to be about salvation. We're going to talk about that. We're going to be praying for people to be saved. But today, I want to pray that God gives you a supernatural testimony. I want to pray that what he did over and over in the scriptures, and let me just give you a strategy if I can, and that is this. If you need healing in your body, what I'd like you to do is turn to the book of Matthew and begin to read through the book of Matthew and just begin to take notes. Just grab a piece of paper, write down the reference, and write down a little brief summary of what it was, where God heals the woman with the issue of blood for X number of years, that God heals Jairus's daughter that was about to die, that God healed the centurion, that God delivered the demon-possessed man, and he restored him to a sound mind. Just write down what it says in the scriptures and say, you know what? I'm going to start believing these. There are some resources that are available that people have recorded the healing promises of God over and over and over again. Begin to say, God, this is part of not just the part of the covenant that you established with the disciples. This is part of the covenant that you established with me, that you would come and restore and refresh us physically. You would make us whole like you are. And so I speak to my eye. I had a retina issue with my left eye a year ago. And God gave me a promise that I would be able to see through that eye clearly. And I can see through the eye. My definition of clearly has not really come to pass in that particular thing yet. But here's the thing. A few weeks ago, my right eye began to show some of the minor symptoms or some of the early symptoms that my ophthalmologist had told me to be on the lookout for. And so I went in and got it checked out, and they said, okay, we see some transition that is going on there, but everything is good. We'll just keep, you know, this is kind of funny, we'll just keep an eye on it for the next few months. And it's like, you know, we're going to keep an eye on that eye. And so here's what I'm doing. I'm praying and I'm speaking. God, this is the promise that you have given. And so when I celebrate communion, this is the body of Christ that was given for me. It was broken for me. He blessed it. He broke it and he distributed it to the body. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember today that Jesus is your healer. It's part of his provision. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care what tool he uses to bring about the healing. I really don't. I want my wife, myself, our kids, our future grandkids, I want them to be healthy. I want you to be healthy. I want our church to be healthy. And I don't care if he uses the doctors in their wisdom or the technology of man. I don't care if he uses heavenly technology that man has no capability. I just want to be healed. You see, there was a person that was, they had an issue in their life, and this goes back a ways, and the preacher was going to pray for healing, and the person that would come up for prayer had literally grabbed that spot and said, no, don't pray for that. You see, I want Oral Roberts to pray for that. You know what? I don't care who prays the prayer of faith. I don't really care who gets the glory for it. I just want the healing that God has to manifest in our churches. He is our healer. And that ultimate healing is when we experience no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more tears, no more death, but we are forever in the presence of Jesus. Father, I just pray right now in the name of the Lord that you would bring healing to your people. God, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, from fingertip to fingertip, touch every organ, touch every bone in Jesus' name. Align every vertebrae. I pray, God, that you would remove any inflammation in Jesus' name. I pray that you would touch ears and heal them, touch eyes and heal them. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you and you alone would receive the glory and the honor and the praise. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you celebrate communion today with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an